Köszöntöm ezeket, szervusztok! Romániában szuperválasztási év van. A június 9-i EP és önkormányzati választások után november 24-én és december 8-án tartják az elnökválasztás két fordulóját. A ketté közébe ékelve pedig december 1-én parlamenti választásokat tartanak. Mi december 8-án Kolozsváron jelentkezünk egy élő választási műsorral az elnökválasztás második fordulóján, amelyben behatóan fogjuk majd elemezni mindhárom őszi választás eredményét. Mielőtt azonban erre sor kerülne, szerettünk volna egy adással készülni a számotokra, amelyben átfogóan tudjuk elemezni a legfontosabb politikai dilemmákat a román közélettel kapcsolatban. Ehhez kiváló beszélgető partnert sikerült találnunk Emilia Serkán személyében, aki egy nemzetközileg is díjazott román oknyomozó újságíró, aki az elmúlt 10 évben futószalagon szállította a legfontosabb korrupciós és plágiummal kapcsolatos feltárásokat a román politikai elittel kapcsolatban. Az interjúban részben már említett széles körben elterjedt plágiumvádakról is szó esik majd, de beszélgetünk a Magyarországon is sokat hivatkozott antikorrupciós botrányokról, az ezzel kapcsolatos intézkedésekről és ezeknek az árnyoldalairól, valamint arról is, hogy milyen lejáratások indultak meg a személy ellen, kifejezetten a román állam közreműködésével, vagyis hogy milyen nehézségekkel néz szembe egy független oknyomozó újságíró Romániában, ahol ráadásul a magyarországihoz rendkívül hasonló tendenciák indultak meg az állami pénzek magánmédiumokba való átszervezésével, és így a politika szolgálatába állításával kapcsolatban is. Szóval lesz miről beszélgetnünk vele. Az interjút angol nyelven készítettem, ő következik most. Hello, Emilia Serkan, thank you very much for accepting this interview. So, Romania is preparing for presidential and parliamentary elections. You have been conducting investigations that seem to prove that at least 2 of the presidential candidates, Mircea Joanu and Nicolae Ciucă, have plagiarized their PhD thesis. Can you elaborate on the details of these 2 cases and on their political relevances?
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's true, I'm basically writing about plagiarism in doctoral dissertation of top Romanian politicians since 2015, so I have a bit of background on this topic.
Yeah, you're an expert on this.
Yes, I'm an expert on this. Even I didn't realize in the first moment that I will became one, because I discovered so many cases. I documented about 50 cases of plagiarism in doctoral dissertation of Romanian top politicians and officials. In 2022, so 2 years ago, I wrote about the doctoral dissertation of the Prime Minister, then Prime Minister of Romania, Nicolae Ciucă. He was the president of the National Liberal Party here, and also he was the former chief of the Romanian army. And before being to be appointed as the Prime Minister of Romania, he was Minister of Defense. And when he was Minister of Defense, I asked to have access to his doctoral dissertation, because after many of the Romanian top officials were exposed as plagiarists in their doctoral dissertation, the procedure of accessing a doctoral thesis is very complicated here. So I asked access to his doctoral dissertation, and after 1.5 years, I didn't receive it. And well, after he was appointed as a prime minister, it was, let's say, a public pressure on the Romanian institution to give access to his doctoral dissertation. And in this context, I discovered that about 52 pages of his doctoral dissertation were plagiarized from another 2 doctoral dissertations defended with some years before in the same university where he graduated and obtained his doctoral title.
Was that an easy catch, or you had to spend an enormous amount of time to find out these similarities?
No, it was pretty easy for me. Basically, in 1 month since the moment I had the access to his doctoral dissertation until the moment I published. So basically, it was just 1 month. And during this time, it was also the Christmas and the New Year Eve. And basically, for almost two weeks, National Library was closed and all other institutions here were closed. It was not a complicated case for me because, as I told you, I have some good experience on discovering plagiarism. But it was no surprise for me because it is a pattern of the Romanian politicians. During their doctoral studies, they also had a very important position in various public institutions. For instance, Nicolae Ciucă was that moment, he was the chief of a small army, I don't know how to call it in English. Basically, he was the commander of a troop. It was an important position at that moment. And he also had two missions, I think, one of them in Afghanistan and one of them in Kosovo. Basically, part of his time was, spended with his job, not with his doctoral studies, because he didn't suspend his job in the army. So he did the both thing in the same time. And of course, you can have time to do such important things in the same
obviously.
Time. So you need for studying and for research, for doctoral research, you need time.
Absolutely. But why was Mr. Ciucă so careless, not even trying to hide the traces of his plagiarism?
I think it's the same explanation for the other cases. They never imagined, I think, first of all, they didn't realize that it is something bad. I think they didn't realize that it's something bad, that, and they are obliged to quote everything they are borrowing from other researchers. And also, they didn't imagine, they, and I mean not just the doctoral students, but also the doctoral supervisors and the defending committees. Because there are some layers before the defending of a PhD thesis, and these layers are made by university professors that are obliged to follow the whole process and to see if a doctoral research is made respecting the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What was the direct consequence of these revelations? Did they impact the current campaign of the two candidates or the way in which the electorate perceived them?
Well, for some of the Romanian electorate and the people, I think these cases matter. And I think some of them will take into consideration this thing when they will go to vote. But from my perspective, what was important for me as a journalist is that when we have people that are engaging in representing the electorate, they have, we as a journalist need to know everything about them. It's very important because we need to know who is intending to represent us and what kind of competencies they have and what is their real background. And for me, this was very important. And anyway, I didn't knew at that moment that he will intending to run for a Romanian presidency. When I wrote, he was just proposed to become the Romanian prime minister, and he was appointed very soon after as a prime minister. And in this context, I received access to his doctoral dissertation.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you. I think journalism has to serve the need of the people to get information on either of the candidates. I'm just really curious because as far as I understand that neither Ioanu's or neither Ciucă's political aspirations were not damaged severely by these revelations of yours.
No, and I think it's about the the technicality of this issue. Let's say the academic honesty matters for a part of the people and matters for a part of the electorate, not for everybody, because many Romanians are not understanding what it is about.
But their political opponents are not capable of framing this entire situation as a form of cheating, that you are cheated, you are liars, you are not trustworthy. Please, people, don't cast your votes on these candidates.
Well, it's for me, it's a bit funny because we have so many plagiarists in Romania. Yep. So basically, no one can pretend to transform this topic into a political debate because everybody has skeletons in his curriculum vitae.
That's my second question to you, because yes, in the last 10 years you have made similar revelations about at least, please correct me if I'm not correct, but at least 50 high-level politicians and civil servants. Outside observers have spoken a lot about the question of corruption in Romania, but plagiarism lacks the financial dimensions that bribery or embezzlement entail. What motivated you to look for instances of plagiarism among the senior political leadership?
I'm a journalist for many years, more than 25 years. And of course, at the beginning of my, and I'm specialized in investigation. And at the beginning of my career, I covered a lot corruption, as bribery and financial corruption. And anyway, in top of the Romanian politics. But it's very complicated for us as journalists to have proofs and to have documents that are proving everything you are writing, you know. And the Romanian politicians in the last years, they specialize themselves, if I can say like this, in covering their traces. And now they have a lot of wealth and properties and money and business and accounts on the name of other people. And we can't link these other people because they are not part of the family. They are part. They are just friends or very close collaborators or something like this. And it's very complicated because, you know, as the organized crime that is transforming and discovering new ways and methods to cover their traces, the same thing is happening with the Romanian politicians. And because of this, it's pretty complicated for us, but you know, the doctoral dissertation are public. So basically it's free to go in a library, and it's very easily to go in a library and to take a doctoral dissertation and to search, to start.
Yeah, it's accessible.
It's accessible. And second, it's very important for us to know what competency has the Romanian elite. And it's about a real elite that is educated, that is prepared to represent us, or it is a fake elite that was made with the fake diplomas and with, say, fake certificates and with, say, fake competency. And I think a part of the explanation, it is exactly this. So the Romanian politicians were very, very, one of them told us at one moment that it was fashionable to have a doctorate. So for them, it was, we want to achieve this, and it's very important for us because, look, other people that had a doctoral dissertation or a doctoral title were appointed as a prime minister or as a minister. So this is the way of achieving an important position in the Romanian state. So for them, it was a desire to obtain this doctoral title just in order to have the requirements. At least they believe that it's a requirement to have a good position in the Romanian state.
Yeah, so we can see by your revelations that there is a systemic structural pattern of high incidence of these cases of plagiarism. And you mentioned that in order to become an elected officially theoretically you don't need a university degree, but politicians find it important to have a PhD because of the political and social status it provides to them.
Exactly. It's about the social status and also intellectual status. So they just wanted to prove that they are able to represent people just because they have this kind of diploma. Well, we can speak here about a fake elite. At least a part of the Romanian elite is a fake one, taking into consideration their research studies.
Okay, I would like to return a bit to the question of corruption. Here in Hungary, the Romanian fight against corruption is considered by many to be exemplary. Several parties speak about the need to establish an anti-corruption agency similar to the Romanian one. You have worked in several anti-corruption investigations, for example, in case against former PM Adrian Năstase. Although Năstase went to prison for a different crime, he was acquitted in the case you worked on. So how do you evaluate the results of the Romanian fight against corruption? What are its successes and its failures?
Well, I think it was a good moment for the Romanian anti-corruption movement that was very strong, supported by people. And you know, it's very interesting that generally when people went out in the street to protest, they are asking for things that are countable. So for money or for a rising of salaries or pensions or things like this. But the most important street movements in Romania in the last years were just for, let's say, not for something countable, but for a desire of have a state without corruption. So we fight a lot, even in the Romanian people protesting in the street, for having a political class without corruption and liberating the Romania from corruption. But this is sounds like an utopia. I think that moment was the best moment for the Romanian anti-corruption movement. But now I think it transformed in the last 10 years in a big failure. Because now we see that all cases that involve the Romanian politicians, top politicians, basically end up with their release in the Supreme Court or in other courts, and also end up with closing the cases. So basically now we are considering cases involving, I don't know, a mayor from a medium-sized city in Romania is an important case. In the last years, we didn't have cases involving top politicians. We didn't have cases with involving a lot of money. Of course, there are a lot of explanation for this situation. And I don't think in this moment we can be considered as an example for any European country or for other countries outside Europe. Because if we can close all these cases with a solution in the court, so I think it is a fail process.
You shared your criticism towards these anti-corruption cases, and there are other critics who claim that the anti-corruption drive has eroded the role of the rule of law in Romania by creating dangerous and intransparent connections between the prosecutors and the secret services. What do you think about this analysis?
I think it is correct. And probably a part of the failure is related with this. I have, and it's very well known, my criticism on the prosecutor offices and the relation with the secret services. Let me give you a small example just to understand why.
Please.
You know, there were a lot of evidences that the Romanian intelligence services had about a corruption situation involving top politicians. But they provide all these evidences to the Romanian anti-corruption department just 7-10 years after they obtained all these evidences.
And why is that?
And the Romanian prosecutors transformed them into prosecution cases 10 years later than they happened. This is my, also, you asked me why that. This is also my asking, why that? Why it took so long for the Romanians? So basically, this explained me that they transformed the Romanian intelligence service into a political player. Because if you are giving this kind of information to the prosecutors 10 years later, it means that you protect for such long time that politicians. And when you consider that politician is not important anymore for you or for I don't know whom, so they can be sent, all this information can be sent to the prosecutors. And this happened a lot, and we have obtained all these evidences with the journalist, obtained all these evidences from the files, and we were shocked to see that they had this information for so long and they didn't use them now, because of course the political class try to fight against corruption. Now we have a decision of the Constitutional Court that excluded the Romanian intelligence service from the possibility to provide evidence to the prosecutor in order to use them for their investigations.
Mainstream political elites are losing popular legitimacy all around Europe. There is a growing sense among the electorates that these elites are corrupt and do not represent the people. The result of this legitimacy crisis is the rise of extreme right-wing forces. Romania is no exception. There are two competing parties, both of which are polling above the 5% parliamentary threshold. And the leader of the Our Party, Gheorghe Simion, has all the chances to enter the second round of the presidential elections. Do you think this is part of the larger European trend, or is there any specificity to the way in which the Romanian far right operates?
Well, I think it's both of them. It's followed the European and also the world trend, because we have to see what is happening in also in other parts of the world, not just in Europe. And also I think it is something that probably explain a bit the Romanian context. For a long period of time we didn't had here a populist party, since the last major party in Romania failed to enter in the parliament in I think it was 2004. It was the Great Romania, the party, and it is very well known. His former leader, now he's dead, Corneliu Vadim Tudor. He was an anti-Semitic, and he was the worst political that a country can had. And so for a very long time, we didn't had a populist party in Romania. And probably a part of the society that was felt not represented found in George Simion and in Our a voice that can represent them. So probably the explanation that Our was a big surprise for a part of the society, because I can tell you that many people in Romania didn't heard about them, because they had a huge campaign in social media, And people that were not so connected to social media didn't know about their existence. And it was in 2020 when they entered in the parliament with a huge percent. And now probably they doubled already their score. And it's very possible that they will have about 15-20%. And but there is another political populist party here that probably will enter in parliament, is represented by the European Member of Parliament Diana Șoșoacă. It's possible Romania to have a range of between, I don't know, 20-30% from the members of the Romanian parliament from this populist party, which is huge. As I told you, probably the part of the Romanian society that didn't have a voice of for so many time, part of the people, of course, the one that living in small in more small cities or in villages, the people that don't have good jobs and they are not paid so well, and people that they can see how their future will look like. These two political parties are also making appeal to the people's fears. You know, fear of the people that is not like you, people, immigrants that will came here and took the Romanians' jobs, the vaccine period and the pandemic period also rise a part of the populist support. And probably there are some explanation that fit also in other countries. Something very, very specific for here. And also, I forget to mention also the war in Ukraine, which also raises a lot of concern in some people. And probably we will see in the northern part of Romania, where is close by the Ukraine's border, probably we will see a bit a high percent of people that will vote for these parties.
How do you see the stakes of the upcoming elections in Romania?
For me, it's very depressing because I can confess you that I don't know with whom I will vote in the first term of the election, because in the last years we had here a saying that we will vote to the smallest worst from everybody. So problem is that now we don't have such an option.
There's a familiar behavior in Hungary.
Yeah, and it's very concerning for us that 35 years after the fall of the communist, the political class is so weak, is less competent than it was, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago. And we basically can see a real option to transform the society. I can tell you, I'm preparing right now to write a comment on my Facebook page about the way the democracy is weaker after 10 years of the Klaus Iohannis presidency. It's very sad for us as a society, because this last 10 years is a lost period of time. Probably will take a lot of other period and other times to reconstruct the society and to make some steps, important steps for us.
And for the final part of the interview, I would like to ask you about the situation of media freedom in Romania. In the past, you have been the victim of a compromise. Private photos have been illegally published about you. And even in recent weeks, you have received several death threats. How can you manage mentally these extremely difficult situations? And can you count on the protection of the authorities?
Well, the authorities were the ones that organized the compromise.
Wow.
So, Probably you have the explanation or the answer for your question. No, I can count on the Romanian society. I count on the public and people support. I had a lot of support, and probably this is the reason that I am still strong and I'm still fighting, not just for my case, but also I think my case is very important for the Romanian media, because the Compromat case appeared one month after I wrote about the Nicolae Ciucă's plagiarism case. And it is so much linked with my article about his plagiarism in his doctoral dissertation. I fight in the last almost 3 years with the prosecutors to demonstrate that a top official from the Romanian police leaked evidence from a criminal file in order to compromise me. And that evidence was published 4 hours after I gave to a Romanian officer, police officer, was published in media. The prosecutors basically reject all my requests and closed the file. Now, I don't have hopes that something will happen in future, and that in the end, the justice will prevail, and I will find my justice. I'm not optimistic, but at least two judges said after 2 years of fighting with the Romanian prosecutors that my rights were broke, were not respected. The prosecutor didn't investigate properly the case, as I said, in the last 2 years. And also, I think, which is also important, is if you are not investigating, you as a state are not investigating this kind of cases, you are opening the box, or you are just telling to others that it is fine to threat a journalist, or to discreditate a journalist, or to try to moral assassinate him. Because what happened to me, it was an operation of a moral assassinate against me. They just tried to eliminate me from media and to make me to renounce to be a journalist. I didn't renounce. I'm still a journalist. I'm still fighting with them. And I still try to find my justice. I know that it's very complicated and will take some time, and maybe in the end I will don't have a solution from a judge. But for me and for my colleagues, I think for the Romanian media is important to show them that we are still fighting for our rights, not just as journalists but as people as well.
How widespread are these kinds of attacks against independent journalists?
Happily, we don't have so much cases in Romania of journalists that were attacked or threatened with death. Probably, I in the last years I was the most threatened and discredited journalist because I wrote about people from secret services, intelligence services, politicians, prosecutors, police officers, so basically army. I wrote about many, many people, very important people in the Romanian state, and maybe this can explain, even it is not justified. It's not justified. A journalist is a public servant, even not in that classic term of what a public servant means. But we are serving the public. We are doing our job in the public interest, serving the public interest. So I think it was not normal what happened to me. But if we are retiring and we are not writing about them and we are leaving our jobs, I think this will make even weaker the Romanian democracy.
And my very last question relates to the threats on media freedom and the similarities between Hungary and Romania. So since 2010, the Hungarian government of Viktor Orban has severely eroded the freedom of the press. And one important method was the use of public money to fund advertising in friendly outlets. The result is a gigantic centralized media machine that serves the interests of Orban's party, but is funded by taxpayer money. Similar tendencies can be observed in Romania, although in a so-called competitive party environment. How do Romanian political actors try to control the media, and how do you see the situation of Romanian media freedom?
Probably we are in the worst time for media, I mean in the last two decades at least, because Romanian media was controlled by politicians, it's a habit to have politicians that are controlling media. But what happened in the last years, in the last 5 years, former president of Social Democratic Party, Liviu Dragnea, changed the law, and now the government can pay the political parties. So the political parties before this, they were surviving from donations or money that were paid by the members as
membership fees.
The membership fees, yes, exactly. But now basically the government is paying the political parties, and these political parties can use the money gathered and obtained from the government to pay propaganda in the media. And what is happening now, that almost all mainstream media is fed with money from the government through these political parties. And in this moment, all the independent media is not taking money from the government. So,
but how much can you count on, for example, on subscription fees or crowdfunding from your readers?
As independent media, we can survive with membership fees from our readers or donations. But what I want to tell you is that In the last years, political parties paid media with 52 million euros. So this is a huge amount of money. Basically, the government and the political parties is paying for untransparency. Basically, they are paying for people to be kept in shadow. They also are paying for censorship, because a lot of journalists are applying self-censorship, because they know that some topics, some subjects will not be agreed or accepted by their bosses. They are paying for disinformation and for a parallel agenda that is made by this TV station, because in Romania, a huge part of society is informing from TV station. Yeah. And these news TV channels are owned or directly or through other people by politicians. And they are controlling basically the agenda, the public agenda, selling to the public a parallel agenda with the real one, with the one that it should be important for public.
Emilia Sercan, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for your very important and precious insights on Romanian political realities. Emilia Sercan, Romanian investigative journalist, senior editor of the independent online media, PressOne.ro. Thank you very much again.
And thank you. Thank you all the best. Thank you. It was a pleasure.